You're listening to the Inspire Excellence Podcast, recorded at the BVA headquarters with your hosts, Troy McClain and Tommy Ahlquist. Each episode is focused on shedding new light on different perspectives to create dialogue that inspires excellence.
All right, we're on location. Here we are, everybody. We're at the Inspire Excellence Podcast on location in Las Vegas, Nevada. I got Tommy Ahlquist and Troy McClain, and we're here with Jeff Buck from Buck's 4x4.
Yep.
Jeff, welcome aboard.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Dude, absolutely amazing what you built right behind us. Tell us about it.
This is a 2020 Gladiator. It's a launch edition. We put this together in about 3 weeks for SEMA. This is actually Tommy's new ride.
Totally honored to have you build it for me. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So he basically just gave me free rein and said, let's build it for SEMA. And this morning was the first time he'd seen it. So he seems to be surprised. And
so I got a couple of sneak peek photos, but it didn't even come close.
Yeah.
Didn't have any justice when I got it. Yeah. Saw it here. So tell us a little bit of some of the things you did to it. So it was already a launch edition.
It was a launch edition.
Talk to us a little bit about that.
We actually had a 24-hour window to order these. We actually ordered two of them. And they only made 4,090 of them. And we got two of them. And we got two identical, just alike. Same color, same option, same everything. Mine actually came in first. And I told the guys to call you, and I gave you mine. And
so I'll tell the story a little bit. So I go pick mine up, I pay for it, and I'm leaving. And I'm like, hey, Jeff Buck must really like you. I said, well, why? He's like, well, this is his. Yours isn't coming in for a month. So I called him. I said, you didn't have to give me your Jeep. He's like, well, that's all right. He said, my only problem is I was going to build a SEMA Jeep out of mine. I said, well, build it out of mine. So I got lucky to allow you to do this for me. And
we put it together pretty quick.
Yeah.
Lucky or hooked, I don't know, one of the two, baby, but it looks good.
It does.
Like, I was going to put it, it's called FOMO, fear of missing out, man. Tommy was like, wait a second, I want you to build mine.
And it worked out. It worked out well.
Yeah, that's great.
So, but tell the story more, Tommy. Not only did you have a truck in SEMA, you had a truck pull a truck to SEMA.
Well, you had to have a truck to pull a truck to SEMA.
Right.
It's a big deal down here, right?
This is a big deal.
180,000 people, vendors, buyers from all over the country.
Yeah.
All things to do with cars, post-production accessories.
Yep.
Yeah.
Off-road, street cars, everything, right? This is a big deal for you.
It's a big deal. This is if you're in the industry, you come to SEMA.
Yeah.
This is where you see what everybody else going to see for the next couple of years.
So the parts you put on my Jeep were all prototype.
They were all prototype. This was one of five. So they ran five sets of bumpers, fenders, whatnot. I don't know how many of them made it. I have seen a couple. I've been looking. This is all from Road Armor. And they actually finished the product, and we didn't get it all until October 19th. Is when all the sheet metal got here. So I was stressing a little bit, and I hadn't picked out, I hadn't seen the fenders, so I had an idea what color I wanted to do them, but, when I seen them, then I knew, and so I picked out a color, and I changed that about a week out from going to SEMA and picked this other color that you see now. And
it's legit.
Yeah, I'm picking from swatches. And so I actually ran home, and I parked my Gladiator next to my Jeep that had the wheels that I was trying to match the center on, the color. And I sat out there in a lawn chair, and I got my wife, come out here. Yeah. So it's like 2:00 in the afternoon, and I'm sitting out there, and I'm like, what do you think? I said, is that a mistake? And I've got these books and swatches that I got from Powder Cutter, and I'm setting them up there, and I'm like, well, that's it. That's the color. So that's how I ordered it, and then I changed it a week out with this other color that just came out, and we got the first 40 pounds, but it's out of Florida, so we had to overnight it. That didn't happen. We didn't get the powder coat till Wednesday. We were leaving Saturday. They powder coated on Wednesday, and we got parts starting Thursday morning, and we already had it stripped, but we started putting it together
That turned out beautiful.
It did. And let me tell you the biggest thing that I can tell you why I know it turned out beautiful and why he's this humbly, graciously, and excited, because he never saw the vehicle. In our prior episode, we were doing an episode called Flying High, the benefits of success with the turbulence that come along with it.
Right.
In this episode, we're talking about how the rubber hits the road. How do you stop spinning your wheels and grabbing traction? Traction is when his eyes saw this and went, I get it. Jeff Buck is the greatest builder in Idaho, if not the state, if not the country. Phenomenal. And that was the look on his face.
That's what it's all about.
That was all about. It's fantastic. We want to hear a little bit about you. I've known you for a long time.
Yes.
I've been a long time Jeeper.
Yep.
I've come to see you. You've taken care of me and my family for almost 20 years.
Yeah, it has been.
Almost 20 years.
Yeah.
But we want to hear a little bit about you. Again, the episode this time is getting traction in business and in life. We have a lot of people that are small business owners.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about how it's been for you, the business, the industry, struggles, successes.
Wow. Where do you start? Just to give you a little backstory, this Bucks was started by my parents in 1966, so mm-hmm. we're 54 years old this year. I worked in it as a kid all the way up till I was like 23, and then decided I couldn't work for my dad anymore. We butted heads, so I went off and did my own thing. I came back when I was 30, in 2000, and nothing had really changed. It was still a really small business. Supporting three families now, my brother and sister, my parents. Mm-hmm. And so I asked my dad, at that time I'd made some money to work mm-hmm. different jobs and put some money away. And so I asked my dad, hey, can I come back to work? He's like, yeah. If you know what it's like working for my dad, he came off of a dairy farm in Emmett. So I got $125 bucks a week.
It's good money.
So I came back to work. And I got a $25 raise when I married my wife. I'm 30 years old.
Yeah.
So, when I came back, I kind of told my brother and sister, I said, look, man, we have to do something. And, it took 2 years to get my dad kind of out of the business.
But let me interrupt for a second, because Tommy, you currently work with your dad. You just said something that it's hard to work with my dad.
Yeah.
I've heard that from father to son in businesses. Was there a transition that you knew that you had to tell dad that, dad, I'm the boss now?
Yeah, that came to a head because he was still coming in controlling the money, not allowing us to do anything. So we weren't able to fix up our trucks and bring in new inventory. He was basically on a retired status at that point. It got a little ugly there for a little bit.
Did that ever happen with you and your dad? Like, how do you make those? Because in this episode, we're talking about the rubber hits the road. And how do you go from spinning your wheels to really gaining traction? And I've heard this from not just you. I've touched on it with you superficially. But when those transition legacies go from one to another, there is a point where to get traction, you have to have friction. Did you go through that as well?
At some point, we've got to have my dad on here. He's an incredible guy. The hardest working human being I've ever been around. I didn't need to be told how to work because I just saw it.
Yeah.
Every day of my life. It was a visual example. He is a symbol of hard work in my life.
Yeah.
But with him, it's been different. I just try to keep up with his work ethic. And we've been working together now for 15 years in our company.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what we do. You're getting traction. We have good, healthy arguments a lot. We go right at each other. And then his personality, my personality, you're just right back at work.
Okay.
And so it's a little different for me, and I can't survive without it.
Yeah.
My dad's got so much experience. He's a wealth of wisdom in our industry. Mm-hmm. That guy, I think of the day when he says he's going to retire, I don't know what I'm going to do. So probably a little bit different. I can't take those reins from him.
But still, you had a different perspective because you can't take those reins, but you stay in different swim lanes.
Yeah,
with you, exactly. There was a crossroad.
Yeah,
same swim lane.
Yes, stay in swim lane. And I think that might be something that I would say. I didn't have a father that I worked with, but learning swim lanes, crossroads would probably be the one, because when you got the old school, with that running the Thor hammer, and you got the young buck at that time, young buck. How did that?
No pun intended.
Yeah, no pun intended.
Right, right, yeah. I saw what you did there.
I knew you liked that. That was good. Huh? How did that? And I'm at like, how did that? Like, dude, that those are tough ones. I have people that have third, fourth generation.
Yeah.
How do you mend those fences, or are they even broke?
Our family was pretty tight, so it wasn't broke, but he was definitely pissed.
Yeah.
So it took him a couple of years to get over it. But once he got over it, then he started seeing the changes that we were making, in the type of shop, the type of clientele, the customers, that kind of stuff. I came in back at it with a whole different view after being out in the world for a while. Mm-hmm. And once he saw that we were really progressing and then it was starting to do something, kind of relaxed. And then it was, when I had issues, then I would go back and talk to him.
Yeah.
And say, hey, what about this? This is, you know, and he would be like, well, I never ran into that, but this is how I would do it.
That's, to me, that is brilliant. In boxing, we'll say respect the jab. When there's some dude that used to be ultimate and really tough and really good, but he's past his prime. And if you stepped inside of his jab, you were showing him, I don't respect you. So in boxing, the Young Turks would destroy the dudes that didn't respect the older guy's jab. By asking those questions and saying, hey, I've shown you that I can stand on my own, but I still value you. I think that's another important quality to grab traction in your business and looking at it from a different perspective and judging outcomes, not processes, for me anyways. Looking at, hey, Dad, look at my outcomes.
Yeah.
Don't look at my processes.
He had to be tremendously proud of you.
Oh, he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you probably had a business that then started thriving and going different directions and you never thought it would go.
Yeah.
I know you got much more retail.
He didn't understand or realize the potential it had.
Yeah.
And I did.
Yeah.
And so a lot of it was just going after different clientele.
Yes.
You know, they used to discount everything and not build on belief in the products and what they were selling. And I remember one time with my brother, when it kind of started, I brought in, back then it was Pia Lights.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So I brought them in, but those were almost $300 a pair. And we had this huge discussion. He's like, you will never sell a pair of those. So I ordered in 5 sets of Pia Lights.
And he was
pissed about it, you know. And he ordered in a case of cheap lights. Right? A whole case. 24. And he made a pyramid out of it, and he put a sign on them. And they were like, they were under like $40, $50 for the light. All 5 of mine flew off the shelf within a week.
Mm-hmm.
He sat there. We finally had to discount them out after a couple of months. And I started ordering PA lights by the case.
Wow.
When you gave the customer that choice, they went in that direction. And so we started shifting our inventory that direction to where we got to where we're doing, you know, we would have superchargers on the floor. We would have, it would show the higher end stuff because that ultimately was our customer. The customer we were getting away from was the guys that were installing it themselves, doing it in the backyard, ordered off the internet. We were looking more for, you know, the business guy, the lawyer, the doctor, the
wanted it done
and wanted it done with real parts and done right.
I hear that as I hear the planes fly over and everybody yelling and screaming because of all the hype of SEMA. But one of the things that I'm also hearing from you is, I tell the clientele that I deal with, if you start to compete in price and you drop your price here, then they drop their price, you can only go to zero.
Right.
But compete in value and value proposition, then it doesn't matter. They'll dictate price based off of the value that you represent. You started representing and have in Idaho represented value time in and time again. That's why we're sitting here at SEMA today, because of the value, not because of the price. I guarantee when he looked at this truck today, he wasn't going, how much did it cost? He was going, that's mine. And it's my baby.
And you know what? He hasn't asked me yet.
Why'd you have to put that on the podcast? My dang wife's going to listen. Thanks, you guys.
And the value just keeps going up.
We didn't tell you how much we're charging for the podcast right? yet either.
So more questions. So that's awesome. I haven't heard some of that transition. But then you're in a business that is recession. Not recession proof at all.
No.
There's no way in business can be recession.
First to go and the last to come back.
Yeah.
So I know Jeff. I know you well enough as a good friend that you went through some times that were. Mm-hmm. What I respect most about you, because I think I remember that recession. We had Portico going where Buffalo Wild Wings is.
Oh yeah.
We had Still in the Air. They called us one day and said we're done. And I remember literally laying in bed thinking I'm done.
Oh yeah.
I'm done. I remember thinking, there is no way out of this for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, just by hard work and grace and just working as hard as I could and every day looking for that silver lining at the end of the...
Well, how'd you get traction out of that, though? Like, honestly, how the heck do you get traction out of that?
For me, and I don't know what it was like for you, there was a point at which I said, I can only do what I can do. And what I can do is work my tail off. I can work ER shifts. I was doing 29 of them a month. Could just keep paying the bank. I kept thinking, you know what?
No way.
At the end of everything, I had a family that loves me.
Yeah.
I had a career that I can go work in.
Yeah.
Figure this out. There was a point at which I thought, you know what? I'm going to be okay no matter what happens. And then I started going out of it. And I think it's just work and relationships and getting through it.
It's a lot of it was relationships.
Yeah.
For us. You know, because all the big builders, they stopped.
Yeah, sure.
They backed out. And that was about 65% of our customer base. Yeah. Were those guys that were... You know, the bricklayers and the framers and the construction, they all have big trucks.
Well, it's vanity play, trailers, right?
Right.
And it's all vanity.
With each other, well, we're the guys doing it. Yeah. When that hit, it was like a light switch. I mean, I started seeing it, and then now I would recognize it, but I started seeing it, and I didn't do anything about it. We just kept going full bore. And at the time, I had 16 employees and a 14,000 square foot shop.
Holy goodness. Come on, Jeff.
We were cranking, and we went from a real high to a real low in about 2 years. And like Tommy was saying, there were times where I would just roll out of bed, put my hands in my, you know, face on my hands and be like, what do I do?
Yeah.
You know, because I didn't have another job to go to.
Right.
And...
Well, and pride and ego gets in the way, too. I'll tell you guys that right now. You know, I went through the same thing where you're the man, Troy. You met Trump. And all of a sudden, it's like, hey, I can't pay the bank bill. But I ain't calling any one of you guys because my pride and ego's away. And everyone's going, that dude knows. So how do you address that? Like, I had to learn the power of vulnerability. For me personally, Jeff, I had to learn to go, I just don't know it good enough. And I got to commiserate with somebody. And I've got to assume that you're a self-employed guy. And I started going to dudes like you going, I'm hurting. And I'm hurting bad. What are you doing? That's what I did anyway.
Yeah, we ended up at, we scaled back. It was the Christmas of 2010. And I was sitting at the couch. The whole family went up to the cabin. And I looked over at my wife and I said, we're done. I don't know what else to do.
That's the first time you told her?
But yeah.
I mean, it was leading up to it.
Yeah, we had different discussions. But so I looked at my dad. And he's looking at me. I said, hey, what are you doing with the old building? Do you ever rent it? He goes, no. I said, can I move back in there? He goes, yeah. So
that's powerful.
Give me a $500 a month rent. He says, until you get it on your feet, take care of the building. $500 a month. And so we moved, and I moved my shop, went from my shop was almost 10,000 square feet to 1,800 square feet, sold a bunch of equipment.
What?
We moved the equipment to the industrial park and moved the store back over to the State Street. And it was me on the counter. I had one mechanic, and then my wife would come down and help transfer vehicles after she took the kids to school.
Dude, that's powerful.
Yeah.
The old buck was still able to, but that's familiar. That, like, I think there's a fraternal and a family feeling behind that.
You look back, I mean, and I know where you are now, right? You dug out and back business and things. Can you imagine your life without those lessons? Can you imagine wisdom? We had lunch a couple of weeks ago, and I think the same thing. Now, I'll tell you, it's amazing how resilient we can be, but how stupid we can be, too, how quickly we forget. That recession was not that long ago.
I call it revisionist history.
It's the craziest thing.
Anytime we have, we start getting, you know, a little bit slow.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Oh.
So there's a gut check.
Yeah.
And I start checking all my boxes.
Yeah. And you prepared a little bit differently. I think you take from that great recession that we went through, a lot of lessons. But even for myself, sometimes you forget a little bit. And I think one of the, as I go on, and you know, we're about the same age, for our kids and for the next generation, now I look back at my grandfather and stories of the Depression that he would tell, right? Yeah. And I remember him.
We went through it.
In a very emotional way, tell me the lessons he learned. I think we'll do the same with our kids and with their kids as we become grandparents and move on.
Yeah.
Anyway, great, great story. Tell us a little bit about one of the things that I've appreciated about you for 20 years is customer service. At the end of the day, it matters.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people out there starting businesses, man, that's the reason I always come back. I always, when I leave your shop, whatever the deal is, right? Whether it's new things you're doing for me or coming to take care of old things, always feel like I was your main customer. Tell us, there's something to be learned there from you.
You know, I think that's my dad. My dad.
Legacy.
Taught me and my brother and sister, I mean, the customer, you take care of that customer. I do it. It's just a habit now. I mean, I don't even think twice about it. It has come to light now that I'm getting a little bigger. I've got 7 employees, and they want to clock off at 5:00, and I'm like, hey, no, that is going today.
Mm-hmm.
You that customer is expecting that. We will get it done. We don't cut corners. Trying to teach people a work ethic in a business like ours where, you know, they don't have to come to us. Get them to realize that that's where their paycheck comes from. It's taking care of those individuals.
Yeah.
You know, not leaving their trucks messy, making sure they're washed, making sure that everything's wiped off. Doing it right the first time.
Yeah.
Taking your time.
It's really... I'll talk to my staff as well. And a couple of things that I'm hearing from you, first of all, is it reminds me of the Wendy's. Wendy's had the best tagline in the world. They said, our burgers are better because we don't cut corners. And of course, they were square burgers, right? What a brilliant tagline. Amazon, Bezos says, the best service is no service. Like, just do it right the first time. Our company, I'll say, it's outcomes over hours. Those that are watching the hours, I don't want you. I want you to watch the outcomes. Are you going to deliver this for this client? When you do that, all of the Idaho innovators that we've interviewed do that. I hear for traction, when we're talking about traction for those that are listening, make sure that you're tracking outcomes, not your hours. Make sure you're listening to the old bucks, but learning from the young bucks. And that's the transition that you did. Because the young bucks are the ones that are going to help innovate. The old bucks are the ones that are going to help preserve and really have your back. So that's what I'm hearing from you.
Yeah.
And treat the customer right.
Hey, it's all about the customer.
It is.
If you don't have the customer, you're not there.
All right, enough with all this. Tell me, favorite truck.
Oh, boy. The one I built.
Good answer. Dude, good. I alley-looped it for him. Come on. You know I give it to him. Just go for it.
Oh, man, there's so much out there. And I've only seen, been here, 2 days now?
Yeah.
I've only seen not half of it. So I found a new parking lot that I've never seen in 25 years back here. It's a whole other car show.
No.
I have never been back there.
No way.
Yeah, when we were wandering around. They said they were going somewhere, and we went down the wall, waited in. I'd never been to the end of that building.
They're literally, we were walking around, they were jumping raptors. Like, they're jumping the raptors. They're doing spins. If you have not been to SEMA, you haven't seen trucks. And if you have not had your truck touched by Jeff Buck, you don't have a truck.
That's the truth.
What's the last thing that you tell our viewers, listeners? We're talking about how the rubber hits the road and how to get from spinning your wheels to traction. If you were to give top two or three advice, how do you get traction?
Oh, boy. You know, for me, my customers do become my friends.
Yeah.
And I do lean on my customers from time to time. And they appreciate that as much as I do. But I would say just really taking care of people.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter what business you're in. You know, you could do like what Tommy does and develop, or you could do what I do. It's no different when you sit down at the table and you're cutting a deal. If it's fair and equitable for everybody involved and everybody agrees and everybody's going to come out with a happy outcome, yeah. You know, at the end of the day, that's going to get you a referral, and it just builds from there.
Yeah. What do you say, Tommy? I haven't asked you this question. What do you say?
You know, I say one word, and I think Jeff is probably one of the best examples of that. I think of a long-term relationship with I've had with a guy like this. It's one word. It's authenticity. Mm. You can't fake it, right?
Mm-hmm.
This guy has a heart. You know, I know what you do nonprofit-wise to help kids. I mean, we're going to talk a little bit about that next, but you're authentic. You're doing this for the right reason. You love it. You're doing something you love to do. You're taking care of people.
Mm-hmm.
You truly like those people and they're friends of yours and you've come through. That's the kind of people you want to be around, right?
Yeah.
It's authentic. You can't fake authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the piece of advice I always give someone is if you're having troubles in whatever you're doing, maybe you're not in the right field. Maybe you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're in the wrong field. But you got to find something that you can be authentic about, that truly connects with your heart and your mind, that you can be passionate about. That's Jeff Buck.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All right. Hey, Jeff, thank you very much. Thanks for having us down. Tommy, thanks for having us down. You ready to drive that home?
I'm ready.
All right. All right, you guys, that is the Inspire Excellence. Stay around for if you want the after-hour stuff. We're going to do some chit-chatting, but that's Idaho Excellence with Tommy and Troy, Jeff Buck at the SEMA Show.
You've been listening to the Inspire Excellence podcast. We invite you to find something that inspires you this week. Join us again for our next episode.
Inspire Excellence, son of a bitch. Screw you guys. You guys, screw you guys. I'll get it down. That's Inspire Excellence. Let me do that. Dude, I was waiting for you to grab me. How, like, where were you? Where were you? Where was line? Line. Here we go again. Here we go again. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Thank you. Here we go again. All right.
You know that Bond was my scout master?
No. Oh, you told me that one time.
Dude,
when I was a shithead.
You were a shithead?
Oh, yeah.
Please.
I was loaded with it.
Stop it, man.
Yeah.
I tell everybody my mom raised the hell out of me because holy crap, I was. My mom just raised the hell out of me because I'll tell you what, if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. My mom did not spare that rod. And
there was not a lot of sparing.
No, there was no sparing, man.
22 of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, 22.
Yeah.
Good God.
He used to take us camping. I was way, way into it. He was.
Really?
Younger than
when every time. Did you ever think about, you know, scouting now as. It's not what it used to be, right?
Yeah.
And I had this conversation with, you know, the Nick Lason family.
Yes.
I was with them last night at a basketball game, and I thought, if I think of my childhood, my son, if I wouldn't have been out under the stars, mm-hmm. in the dark, talking about
there's no doubt about it.
And in today's world, it just, I'm sad about it. I'm really sad because I look at some of that's we don't control, social media, technology, everything that's happening, but some of it is just with Boy Scouts and just that one I learned about my country.
Yeah,
I learned to appreciate God, and there's something about being out underneath the stars, talking about things that matter. You know, faith in God, faith in country. That I worry about the next generation.
Tommy, you've heard me say this, and I'll say this: it's the neutering of the American male. I sincerely believe that our biggest competition is the iPhone, and because they all got tech neck. And nobody knows how to, when I say thank you, I look up. When I ask what needs to be fixed, I look in. And right now, everybody's looking to blame everyone else. And we've got this neutered society. The biggest competition that God has is technology. And if you want to see the best technological advances in the world, You go to the mountains, you go scouting, you go fishing, you go hunting.
Well, something happens, even when you're a knucklehead and Vaughn was your leader, right?
Yeah, he was a knucklehead. He was. They were equal. They're great kids.
Yeah, 22 but equal knuckleheads.
You know this. Day one, you're driving there, and they're all whatever.
Wired up.
Day two, they're a little bit tired.
Yeah.
Day three, they're coming around. You know, day four up there, they're different kids. Because why?
Absolutely.
They're unplugged.
Yeah.
They've been in the stars. They've been out. They've been in the, you know, they've been in nature. Right? I think about a time when we didn't have electricity, when mm-hmm. we didn't have all this interference, and we just appreciated the beauty of this world and connected with it. I worry about that.
But Tommy, you're a doctor. There is a time that, just like you have to detox, like my mom had to go through detox during rehab. You have to. You can't expect the child or the young man or the young woman
sure.
to just experience it the first day.
Right.
You have to give it enough time, Vaughn, and you've experienced it too. It takes 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 days to let them just detox, and then they're different.
And then they connect.
Yeah.
And then you hope that when they go back to it, they remember those feelings. They remember what they felt. I mean, one of my favorite things is the Moab story. But every one of my kids, I would make sure we went to Moab when there was not any moon, right? Zero moon. And I would take him out to Hell's Revenge.
Oh, yeah.
And I, you know,
where's Hell's Revenge at?
So it's 105 degree day. Hell's Revenge are these giant domes of red rock. Okay?
Yeah, it's cool.
So you're on a hot, hot, hot day.
Come on.
You take your Jeep in the dark up to the top of one of these peaks, okay? You get out, you lay on this dome of rock with the kids,
yep.
and you turn off the lights. And you are out in the middle of nowhere, and there's a smell that you only get there. There is the stars, the Milky Way, that you only see that way. It's pitch dark. And
your rock's warm.
The rock's warm. And you look over at your kid and say, you tell me there's not a God. You tell me right now.
Bro.
I want you to remember what you're feeling right now. And that every one of my kids, every single one of them, every time, it just, there is. Mm-hmm. And then the next part of that discussion is you say, as big as that is, and as small as you are, he knows you.
Dude, that's
good.
That's deep.
Well, you got to have it. That doesn't happen in a backyard.
No.
That doesn't happen in a living room.
Whose responsibility then? If you're worried about it, is it Vaughn's responsibility? Is it Jeff's responsibility?
For lots of different people, it's different, right?
Yeah.
Vaughn's probably taken care of hundreds and hundreds of youth over his life that mm-hmm. never would have experienced it without him. But for most, it's the parent, right? But in our society, it can't always be the parent.
Yeah.
That's why Jeff's doing all the stuff he's doing with hunting and with his programs.
Yeah.
But getting back to the scouting thing, there's something about the outdoors.
Yeah, there is.
There's something about a dark night. There's something about feeling God's presence that if you don't make room for it, it's not going to happen.
I agree. And doing tough stuff.
And doing hard things.
Hard things.
Well,
kids didn't think they could do that. The hardest part, you know, the part I remember the most are the 100-mile hikes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Sawtooths. Just about kill you for the first couple
backpacking
of
days. Backpacking into Seven Devils.
Yeah, there you go.
And Mount Bora. And
fishing and not catching any fish.
White clouds.
Storms and getting drenched. And
yeah. How about that? One of my favorite stories I like telling is I got every merit badge there is. 121 of them. Right? The hardest merit badge I ever got was hiking, because you have to do, to get the merit badge, you don't just do 100-mile hike. You have to do several. I did them on my own. Right, mm-hmm. with my uncle, who was a year younger.
Wow.
So we're 14 years old. He's 13, I'm 14, and my parents would let us go do a 100-mile hike on our own. Okay. So we're out in the middle of the Ochre Mountains on a 100-mile hike on our own. Mm-hmm. We pitch our tent and we are getting a torrential downpour, a deluge. And it is like the longest night of my life, I'll tell you. But those things where you think, I'm gonna die. I'm out in the middle of nowhere.
I love
what am I doing? And you know what we did? You know what you do when that happens? You're 14 and you think you're gonna die. You get on your knees and all of a sudden prayer is different than when not, right? When you're in the living room
on an
iPad, it's got meaning.
It's got meaning.
You're begging for help. That particular, and I'll tell you the abbreviated version.
Mm-hmm.
After a long story, we had a police officer come up the canyon because there were some things there and save us, rescue us. And with big tears in his eyes, big burly guy, he said, hey, I don't know why I came up here tonight, but
I found you, kid.
I knew you guys needed help. And you walk away from experience like that and go, it was super hard, but man, I learned something. And
it's because you have grace.
Yeah, that's right.
By the grace
yeah.
of God.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of the kids miss that and don't understand that, that it is by the grace. We get revisionist history in business. We get revisionist history in faith.
And in our lives.
And in our lives. Because I'll say this. This is just me personally. I tell everybody, leadership without ego. My definition of ego, exiting God out. Because anytime I start getting a little bit more money in my pocket, and I'm like, oh, dude, I got this, man. My chest is loud and proud. I'm like, wait a second. Am I leading with ego? Or am I leading without ego? Because if I think I'm that good, I might as well go challenge the dude right now. And every time I've gotten too much ego, all of a sudden my income goes, dit, dit, dit. All of a sudden my relationship, dit, dit, dit. I'm like, oh, I need to get authentic and I need to get some humility is what I need to get. Doesn't mean that I don't like my big boy toys. Doesn't mean that I don't like rocking my Rolex. But what it means is that I have to be authentic and truthful about it. At least that's how I feel, Vaughn. But, and that's just my opinion. The outdoor stories, though, man, I got some great ones. I'm going to give you a quick one real quick. So my buddy and I, cousin, mom, don't listen to this. So we're out. My granddad would give us just a box of 22s. I mean, you're 10, 12 years old. Here's a box of 22s. Don't come back till middle of night. Like, all right, great. You got these little single shot 22s. You shoot everything. If it flies, it dies. It was gophers. It was squirrels. It was the greatest time in the world. We come up over this field. And there's a car in the middle of this field. Like, it's just an old car in the middle of the field. And I thought, God, somebody dumped an old car. We should pluck that car. Pink. We pluck it. My cousin goes, God, that's cool. Pink. We pluck it.
So we're telling these inspiring stories. I hope this is going somewhere.
Well, this is off camera.
You always have me worried.
This is off camera. We pluck the heck out of this thing. And we think it's the funniest thing in the world. The next day, the next day, you got to stop. Let's time out. But the next day, my granddad gets a call from the local cop. Somebody had parked their wife's car, brand new car out there that they were going to give as a gift. And it was going to be the gift. And we thought we were just plucking the crap out of this thing. Pink, pink, pink. We shot it all up. So here's the story. What you want to do is always tell the truth, except for that time. Don't ever like, well, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. That's not making the air, by the way, you guys. That doesn't make the air. No. So I do believe in the outdoors for sure. All right, guys, let's wrap this up. So everybody, I want to say thank you very much. Here we are live at SEMA with Jeff Buck, and we're at Inspire Excellent Podcast with Tommy Ahlquist, Troy McClain. Yes, I got it.
Great job.